declare the meeting open at 9:34. Just like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning, and would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians that may be present. Just a bit of housekeeping. In the event of an evacuation, I would ask that you all remain calm and follow my directions. The emergency exit is through the gallery doors here on your left, and down the stairwell to exit onto Bloomfield Street. We have some standing orders in relation to public conduct at our meetings. This means that all members of the public present at a meeting must, not without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any other person that is present here this morning. We ask you to be suitably dressed. You turn all your mobile devices to silent mode and please leave the meeting if you need to take a call. I have a responsibility as chairperson to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with one or all of these requirements that I may, without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period that I decide as chairperson. That period may actually include future meetings. Now, we haven't got any leaves of absence, but we do have Councillor Tolte on a teleconference. So can I please have a mover and seconder that Councillor Tolte be permitted to join the general meeting by teleconference? Moved Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Against? That is carried, councillors, and Councillor Elliott is not yet in the room. My great pleasure, as our general meeting agenda, as always, to invite Denise Ferguson, Reverend Denise Ferguson from the Anglican Parish of Cleveland, a member of the Minister's Fellowship, to lead us in a brief devotional segment. Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you. Oh, that's a worry. Well, it's my privilege this morning for the final time to lead council devotions. Having spent just over 5 years living in the Redlands, I'm about to move to Adelaide to a new ministry role. So, but I am very grateful for the relationships that I've developed with many of you over the past 5 years as we've sought to work for the common good across the Redlands. So thank you. This week, Christian churches throughout the world come together in a week of prayer for Christian unity. I'm the first to acknowledge that the Christian church often appears and is fragmented and inconsistent. But at the heart of our faith is a will to find points of meeting so that we can all serve the common good. As I took time to reflect upon the resources provided to enable Christian churches to join in prayer this week, I was once again reminded of our joint mandate as church and local authority. So I share a few of those words with you this morning. And the reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 18 to 20. And it's titled, Municipal Judges and Officers. You shall appoint judges and officials throughout your tribes, in all your towns that the Lord your God has given you, and they shall render just decisions for the people. You must not distort justice, you must not show partiality, and you must not accept bribes, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. Justice, and only justice, you shall pursue, so that you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God has given you. Justice, and only justice, you shall pursue. Holding our common mandate, I invite you to reflect upon the words of this prayer, placing yourselves as servants of the Redlands community in the places where the Christian context may not resonate for you. Compassionate God, you have chosen us to shepherd your flock. Jesus, your Son, taught us to act justly. We are aware that in our ministry we sometimes behave unjustly towards the people whom you have entrusted to us. We sometimes prioritise those who are close to us or those who have a higher social status and ignore strangers, the poor and the least in our society. We lack the courage to openly defend the oppressed and especially children in our care, and at times we even misuse church resources. And these failings have caused some people to turn away from your church. Loving God, you have gathered us as members of your flock. Jesus, your Son, taught us that true disciples love one another. And we confess that we have failed to live his commandment of love when we regard those of other churches as rivals and are hostile towards another and slow to forgive. At times we are so focused on our personal interests that we ignore the needs of our sisters and brothers. We can easily exclude or dismiss those who do not share our point of view. In these ways, our actions create dividing walls between us. Gracious God, you have commissioned us to make our common home a place of justice for all. In your generous love, you send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, and in Jesus, teach us to love without discrimination. We confess that we have failed to follow this teaching by turning away from our neighbours in need, especially refugees, failing to act responsibly in our use of social media, or by failing to show respect and care for our environment. Our conduct risks making the world a barren field that no longer brings forth your justice for all of creation. May our hearts, minds, and actions refocus on that which brings life and abundance. As we claim our shared responsibility for the common good, may we commit to justice, mercy, and unity. We're called to walk together. May we break the cycle of greed and live simply. May we condemn all forms of violence and speak out for those without a voice, so that all may live with respect and dignity. May we extend mindful and generous hospitality to strangers and the marginalised. May we appreciate the beauty of creation and protect it from harm. May we commit to working together for justice, mercy, and unity for the common good. Amen.
To take this opportunity on behalf of Council to wish you all the best in your travels to Adelaide, and can I just thank you on behalf also the community for your spiritual leadership. You've been a very big part of not only our Christian community but also our ceremonial Anzac days, etc. So no doubt you'll be missed by many. So on behalf of all of us here in the community, we thank you and wish you all the best. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I was for those words, Mayor Williams, because Denise certainly has been a part of our community. But I'd also like to boast on her behalf, because she's been very humble, and she's not just going to Adelaide, but she's actually going down there as Assistant Archbishop. And there's only Assistant Bishop, and there's only six in Australia, and six women in Australia. So I say go, sister, and thank you for all you've done in our community here in Redlands.
So congratulations as well. Thank you. Councillors, the next item on our agenda is declaration of interest on any items of business. Just to refer you to your responsibilities in relation to a councillor's material personal interest and conflict of interest at a meeting. The details of these responsibilities are outlined in the agenda under Division 5A of the Local Government Act 2009. Just a reminder that you can make those declarations at any time during this meeting. Just recognition of achievement, I just wanted to briefly congratulate and thank members of the community, and particularly Councillor Boglari, who recently assisted and came to the aid of a previous serving councillor's husband, Keith Newton. It really is once again a great demonstration of the amazing community that we do have here in Redlands, and I think I was at a concert with Wendy when I made her aware of the fact that Keith had gone missing. She took leave of the concert straight away and started to pull the community together. So thank you, Councillor Boglari. I'm sure there are many people who are very grateful for your efforts and for all the SES, police, emergency services. Once again, when these things happen in our community, we are just creating enormous benchmarks for other communities to meet how we work together as one when these sorts of events happen. And hopefully they don't happen often. So thank you, Councillor Boglari, and those who helped find Keith Newton. So I've not been advised of any other recognitions of achievement, so I'll just move on to receipt and confirmation of minutes. Councillors, may I have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 22nd of May 2019 be confirmed? Move, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to, are there any items of correctness that need to be addressed this morning? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? That motion is carried. Councillor Tolte?
Aye.
Welcome to the meeting, Councillor. That is unanimous, Councillors. Thank you. Moving on, item 7 is matters outstanding from previous general meetings. I'll hand over to CEO.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Couple of items. One is the opportunity to participate in a joint local government activity on the regional approach to waste and resource management. That report will come back at the end of the year. And the other one is the report to come back on the purchase of land for conservation purposes at Ormiston. There's a report due to come back to the council meeting by the end of this financial year, by the 30th of June.
Thank you, CEO. The next item on our agenda, councillors, is public participation. In accordance with section 31 of our policy 3127, council meeting standing orders, period of 15 minutes may be made available by resolution to permit members of the public to address the local government on matters of public interest relating to local government. Priority will be given to members who have made written application to the CEO to do so. And with that, we do have someone that has written in. Can I please have a mover and seconder that we adjourn the meeting for a 15-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council? Move, Councillor Boglari. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. If I could now ask Jan McIntyre to come forward, if Jan is here. Thank you, Ms. McIntyre. If you would just like to start by, you might have seen some signage around the chambers regarding how we deal with public participation at our meetings. It's our usual practice to require any person who was addressing council to state their name, the organisation they represent or the suburb they live in, and the subject you wish to speak about. Just to let you know, your presentation will be recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for council from council's administration building and published on council's website. It's recorded in audio video, and by speaking you acknowledge and agree that any recording video may be placed in the public domain. So with that, if you would like to start with your name, your suburb or the organisation that you represent, and you may proceed.
Thank you. My name is Jan McIntyre, and I have lived and worked remotely on Coochie Mudlow Island for almost 20 years. I am a member of the Coochie Mudlow Island Heritage Society and have chaired a small group to research and apply for the listing of the Emerald Fringe on the Queensland State Heritage Register. I thank Mayor Karen and the councillors for this opportunity to speak to you about the Emerald Fringe of Coochie Mudlow Island and why the residents of Coochie are so passionate to have it placed on the local Redland City Council Heritage Places Register. The Emerald Fringe is a public space entirely surrounding Coochie Mudlow Island between the interior property boundaries and the high water mark, and that is presently zoned conservation, but we include the road reserves in our application. Such public space completely encircling an island is rare in Queensland. We have been unable to find another example of a public reserve encircling an inhabited island anywhere else in the state. And since our application for state heritage listing has been in the public realm, no one has brought forward another case to our attention. So we think we're right. This space fulfills the purpose of the original 1878 directions for the guidance of surveyors in Queensland. The interface between allotments and reserves is the same today as it was when the island was first surveyed in 1886, and later draftsmen continued the pattern. Nomenclature of zones within the reserve may have changed over time, but they function as they always have done. The Emerald Fringe provides stable property boundaries, a buffer zone around the perimeter of the island, and democratic access to all. Coochie's Emerald Fringe reveals that the space for public use still exists to the full circumference. It visually demonstrates how it was laid out originally, that diverse ecosystems continue to exist, including littoral woodland and tidal mangrove edges. Visitors and residents use the fringe for multiple purposes. No development in the fringe interrupts its continuity, nor is there infrastructure installed apart from low-key facilities of the type provided in national parks. The existence of present-day marine transport infrastructure fulfills the original design intention and does not detract from purpose. The Coochie community has a strong sense of spiritual and cultural connection to the Emerald Fringe. Its preservation as a public reserve has always been important to the community, as shown by the island's 2020 vision statement and various actions taken in the past to preserve it. These actions include such community participation in regeneration of the Emerald Fringe after Cyclone Oswald, and the existence of coast care, bush care, and native plant nursery that meet regularly to weed, plant, and protect it. The Emerald Fringe has an enduring connection with coastal tourism in Queensland. Pioneer farmers Doug and Mary Morton fostered tourism on the island. The remains of jetties, stairways, and lookout constructed by the Mortons supply examples of the infrastructure provided for visitors. Visitors then, as today, enjoyed recreational fishing, crabbing, swimming, and boating, as well as the flora and fauna. Coochie Mudlow is an attractive island that is promoted as a tourist destination close to a mainland population of more than 2.5 million people in southeast Queensland. The Emerald Fringe has the only easily accessible sandy beaches and littoral woodlands close to the population. It draws up to 3 times its permanent population in visitors over a summer's weekend, as day trippers and short-term stayers. In January 2018, the visitors to Coochie were 3,110 for 1 weekend only. That's according to our ferry operator. It's not unusual for the short-term property market to be filled to capacity at peak times and turn away prospective tenants. Unlike many such landscapes which have been largely converted to recreational open space parklands, a high percentage of the Emerald Fringe remains in a wild or woodland state. There have been minimal changes in dimensions of the reserve containing the fringe from the time it was gazetted until present day. The Emerald Fringe contains within it diverse coastal ecosystems that includes woodlands, Curlew Creek with its far its far five sorry, I've lost a page. Sorry. I do beg your pardon. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. And then I've missed it anyway, certainly. But we have it is. And it's got five of the six mangroves that are in Moreton Bay anyway. So it, when I catch my breath, it's really quite wonderful. I missed it. I'm sorry. I'll keep going. I don't know what I've done.
Second, I'll just advise you that
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm catching my
breath. That's fine. You have exceeded the 5 minutes, and that's fine. We'll fill out later.
I'll just finish up. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I totally understand.
The Coochie's Heritage Society's submission for listing was prepared entirely by volunteers and volunteer island residents, and you can see that from the mess I've already made. It was really a labour of love. Many, many, many hours of work went into its preparation, and we are proud of the result. We are grateful for the advice from the Redland City Council officers and at various stages of, and the encouragement of the local community. Every organisation on the island supported the application to the State Heritage Department along with the local councillor and state MP. 57 individual submissions were made in support. 57, and evidently that's quite a lot of submissions. There's been no opposition to the proposal, and it's very evident the Emerald Fringe means so much to the community, they want it protected in perpetuity. And I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. It was very informative. Councillors, there have been no other request, so if I could have a mover and second of that, we move back into our meeting proceedings. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillors. Thank you, Councillor Tolte. We do have a couple of petitions to present this morning, so if I could have, please, a mover and seconder, starting with Councillor Hewlett for your petition. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a petition from the residents of Victoria Point requesting additional trees be planted at the Salford Waters Park. I move that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Move Councillor Hewlett, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Did you wish to speak to it, Councillor? I'm sorry.
No, just to state that we all know what vegetation on foreshores can be like, so
sure.
I look forward to moving forward with this one. Thank you.
Are those in favour? Against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Goll, I also believe you have a petition.
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. I'd just like to submit a petition from the residents of Thornlands and Cleveland requesting the council liaise with the animal owner of 6 Tarina Street to have the barking stop. It's about barking dogs, Madam Chair.
Your motion, Councillor.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. The petition is of an operational nature and can be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration, please.
That motion moved. Seconded for that, Councillor Boglari. No further discussion, Councillor?
No, Madam Chair, thank you.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you, Councillor. That was unanimous. Councillor Mitchell, I believe you also have a petition to present.
I have a petition from some of the business owners and residents of Cleveland requesting Redland City Council consider a strategy in consultation with Cleveland Business to upgrade the Cleveland CBD, therefore to make it more affordable to business beyond the Cleveland CBD incentive package, upgrade car parks and look at ways to improve car parking in the CBD and resolve the lack of consultation process in regards to high realty prices in the CBD on a local level. So I'd like to move that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
So moved by Councillor Mitchell, seconded by Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak any further to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Just generally that in principle I'll take this as support for the great work that Council has been doing previously with the peak bodies, CBTA, Redland City Chamber of Commerce, a couple of business breakfasts. We've also had transport strategies, both citywide and Cleveland, with engagement. I think we'll take that as encouragement for the ongoing work that I've been advocating for in this council to continue engagement.
Thank you, Councillor. All right. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Against. Sorry, those in favour?
Aye.
Move, Councillor. Sorry, those against? Okay, those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you, Councillors. That is carried. Councillors, just very quickly, as you're aware that LGAQ asked me to, this is a presentation in regards to my delegation that I led on behalf of LGAQ to Taipei in a month or so ago. And just to, you've been given a bit of an outline since my return, but just to make you aware that I attended the second largest smart city summit in the world, only surpassed by Barcelona. It was about business-to-business opportunities as well as smart city initiatives and sharing of information on behalf of 77 councils in Queensland. On behalf of LGAQ, we signed the Go Smart initiative, which allows all councils in Queensland to have access to information of smart technology that's being used across the world, and not only just for councils, but of course for businesses that may be interested in being involved in that part of the economy. The delegation I led was the largest ever led from Queensland, and it was supported by TIQ, and also had some opportunities through Austrade to look at some opportunities, not only just for Queensland, but more importantly for Redlands. I'd encourage you to speak to some of those participants. We had representation from Sheldon College, the Chamber of Commerce, Freelance Robotics, and in speaking to them, you'll understand there was great value in learning for us being part of that, and Redlands had a very strong business representation compared to other councils from Queensland, and also demonstrated Redlands' great interest in smart city solutions, because it is really about finding solutions through smart technology for the challenges that we face. We all know that Redlands has some, being a city of islands, the marine environment, the cost of having remote communities in a metropolitan part of Australia. So hopefully we can have some outcomes as a result of that, and Council has already been talking to some of the participants and see those opportunities, I'm sure. So I'm going to table that report, councillors, which will be attached to the minutes. I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to do that. It was actually an LGAQ initiative and came at no cost to Redlands City Council, except for my absence, which I'm sure you all missed or you enjoyed, one of the two. So thank you for that opportunity, and it was certainly personally and I guess professionally a great advantage for Redlands City Council to see what's happening in other parts of the world, and I've tabled that now.
Do you mind if I ask, I know one of the things that you mentioned to us was that the Asia Pacific Cities Summit, you did some advocacy there, and it just might be useful for people who are interested to know about that.
Yes, look, as part of my advocacy on behalf of Queensland, I was also promoting the opportunity for people to come and visit our region of southeast Queensland through the Asia Pacific City Summits, which is occurring, I think, in the first week of July. Thank you. Thank you. So obviously there's an opportunity to further relationships that were initiated in Taipei and in Taiwan at the Asia Pacific City Summit, and certainly as a result of those invitations, I know of at least two organisations that will be visiting the APCS and hopefully visiting Redlands City. So the Asia Pacific City Summits is a great opportunity also for us to understand the challenges and the solutions being provided in the Asia Pacific area, and all mayors are invited from across the Asia Pacific. It is a very big opportunity for Southeast Queensland to shine, and I know that some councillors are interested in attending. I encourage you to try to at least see some of the speakers that are there. They are quite outstanding. Thank you, Councillor Bishop, for that reminder. All right, back to business and the order of business. In fact, I don't think we have any motion to alter the order of business, so we'll move straight on to reports from Council. Now, a first item on the agenda is the review of policy 2592, concealed leaks. Can I have a mover and seconder for that? Moved, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. The policy document is very clear, but I do have one question, and it's just a technical question, if I may, through yourself to our Chief Financial Officer. With this policy, the concealed leaks policy, in the legislative requirements, I note that it refers to the Water and Sewerage Services Code, that's in the report, and then when you actually go to the concealed leaks policy, the head of power is Queensland Customer Water and Wastewater Code. I just note that there's no act, the higher order body, and I ask why that is. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you as Chair, thank you, Councillor, for the question. You're right, the South East Queensland Customer Water and Wastewater Code is a statutory instrument that actually falls under an Act, a Queensland Act, which is the South East Queensland Water Distribution and Retail Restructuring Act 2009. We don't reference that because that act doesn't explicitly talk to a concealed leaks policy, where the code does. So the code is a statutory instrument written by the minister on behalf of a state government department. On the website, it talks to that Redland City Council falls under that, so it has to comply with that, and the requirements are to have a concealed leaks policy.
I think you deserve a round of applause for that. Thanks, thanks, Deb. A walking legislative encyclopedia and our CFO. Thank you. Anything else, councillors? A couple of questions, and I was also going to just suggest to councillors that we could perhaps amend this policy, and I'd be asking someone from the floor to note the fact that the state... Thank you. Okay, well, I might allow that discussion to occur. If we've got a speaker against at the moment, and we'll come back to that amendment. Speaker against? No? Some comments? Okay, well, can I start with Councillor Boglari?
I was on the same track as yourself, Mayor. I'd like to add an amendment. Yeah, here's one we prepared earlier, only because of the state's current stand, and I do believe we need to have further discussions with them. I know you have written to them, but I think we need to continue. Yeah, it was just something we both actually agreed.
I'll give you, there is also the, as I mentioned, investigate the possibility of looking at that policy to deal with some of our charities. And the reason for that being that these charities tend to come to us anyway for community grants and the like. So this is in a way assisting them without having to go through another unnecessary process. So if I could just give you time to familiarise with the point 3 and point 4. We'll go with three. So I'll read it out for you, perhaps. So investigate the possibility of amending the concealed leaks policy to allow registered charities and not-for-profit organisations that use more than 100 kilolitres per annum, thereby not meeting the criteria of a small customer, still being eligible for a rebate of some description under the policy. The outcomes of these investigations will be sent to councillors in a briefing paper for further consideration at a later general meeting. And the second part is to repeat what we've done previously, but to write SEQ Water and the relevant state minister again to request that they implement a concealed leak policy and associated processes to cover the state government's bulk water component of water consumption in Redland City. So currently we can only give a rebate on our portion of the bill for water consumption, not that which is only arguably a smaller portion than what the state government receives. So the request to SEQ Water should include a reference to Council's existing concealed leaks policy, which compensates residents for Council's retail component of a concealed leak, and request that the SEQ Water policy takes into account and complements Council's existing policy. So I apologise that has not been distributed earlier, but it was an early morning kind of construction. So... This would be an amendment to the motion. So I'd be asking Councillor Boglari if she would move that amendment, and we're just voting on the amendment. Councillor Bishop has seconded that. Can I just see if there's support for the amended motion? Thank you. So that is supported unanimously, and now we have the new motion before us. So we have some other questions, I believe, Councillor Golay.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I suppose my question relates to this policy and body corporates. As you know, we've got a lot of properties in the area that may be run as a nursing home, for example, and our water bill is measured by the main company, I suppose, and then distributed out to the tenants. How will this policy impact them, where if there's possible discounts or savings to be passed on, how would that be picked up? Is it just the mother company that gets the bill, and then it's up to them how they distribute it out?
That is the situation with those bulk multiple dwelling situations, yeah, where they have one large water meter.
Yeah, and I raise that
can't be changed. It will be up to the body corporate and the owners to make those decisions, not the council.
So I just raise that because there has been residents who have lodged queries around certain aspects of that, even in relation to the state government rebates that they haven't been able to get because there's a mother company collecting or offering the bill. But
the mother company also would not get a rebate on the state government component at this point in time.
Right.
But they would potentially, depending on the kiloliters and the criteria, depending.
Yep.
So, but we have no control. That request and that complaint should be lodged with the body corporate or the owners of the
Thanks,
complex.
Thank you.
Any further discussion, councillors? Now, a sum up. Councillor Hughes, you happy to... Councillor Boglari now.
I was just going to say...
Sorry.
Yeah.
Pardon me, Councillor Boglari?
No, the policy has been reviewed and we're just going to continue lobbying to get better outcomes for our community, which is hence the amendment.
Thank you. Okay, I put the motion. Those in favour? Against?
Aye.
Carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 12.2 is the investment policy. Mover and second of that. Move, Councillor Mitchell. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Just very briefly, Madam Mayor, these policy reviews that are done as part of the budget development workshops each year. It's the really important back of house work that largely goes unseen in the public, but it's really part of Redden City Council staying the pretty tight financial ship it is and giving our community and the council itself that financial sustainability. So it's just worth highlighting all the work that goes behind the scenes every year. Thank you.
Speaker, comment, Councillor Edwards.
Yes, I'd just like to note that Council is very, very, very cautious with the funds that we hold, and we don't speculate with the funds, which are not ours, they're the community funds, and we ensure that the funds are always invested in a way that ensures that we will always have access to them.
Question, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you again to our CFO. Thank you, Deborah. With this investment policy, I note in the version information, so that's on page 17, version number 11 and dot point 2, it says minor adjustments to policy statement. We normally list what our changes are for tracking purposes. And I just wonder why we haven't done that on this occasion. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor, for the question. Councillors may recall we workshopped this as part of a budget workshop on the 13th of March. Those documents have the track changes in it. They're so minor that we didn't think it warranted listing on here. Should Council choose to list it, we can get that updated, but there were minor wording changes to policy statement number 3, and we actually took out what the bank bill index is because we think that's too narrow because we track against other industry benchmarks. So covered in the budget workshop notes, more than happy if we feel it's a requirement to list in here.
So the reference to that Bloomberg Ausbond bank bill index you feel is not relevant and enough reference to put there that we have taken it out?
To you, Madam Mayor. Okay. Yes, we had our Treasury team look at this, and because there are many industry benchmarks, you may note that QTC often exceeds that particular benchmarks, but there are other industry benchmarks, so we didn't want to narrow the policy too much. We wanted the policy to be quite broad, so I don't think it will be of any detriment to Council's policy position on investment.
Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, just on that, I think while I totally understand the reasons, if there is a track to change, I know that you're only including the things that are of material change, but it'd just be good, I think, to include any of those just in that update, because I often look at that version of information at the end as well, just to make sure that that's there. It might be so pedantic that it's not
It's probably costing more resources than it's worth actually doing.
I'm with Councillor Hughes that when you have a question, it's nice to have a summary where you can actually just go back and confirm what we've discussed along.
Well, when you look at
just remember it will be in your note. It'll be in your workshop notes. I'd encourage any of our budget discussions that come up for decision. If you have any questions, you could go back to your notes quite easily, and you'll see those track changes.
Absolutely, but this is a community document, and when you note 2017, we've noted the changes that we've had, and then in 2019, it's just a broad statement.
I'll buy you $1,000 casket ticket if I ever get a question about the BBSW and our use of that in making our policies, Councillor. It is a measure, and I appreciate you want to see those track changes. They are provided to you, and I'll leave it to officers to decide whether they want that information. Any other questions or comments? All right, hand back to Councillor Mitchell. Thank you. To sum up.
Oh, they're very happy. I think it's always a good discussion, and thank all the councillors for being so interested in what is one of our core functions of looking after our public funds. Good.
Thanks, Councillor. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against?
Aye.
Carried unanimously. Thank you. 2019-2020 revenue policy. Mover and seconder, thanks. Move, Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Probably very similar to the last comment. So no, I think it's here and the same thing. There's a lot of a fabulous back of house work that we look at each year, and same comments and probably same discussion. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
No.
Yeah, I can't afford two casket tickets. Okay. Any other questions, councillors? Great. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against?
Aye.
That is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Next item is our operational plan quarterly performance report, March 2019. Move, Councillor Boglari. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Yes, I'm happy to move the officer's recommendation, and I'd just like to point out on page 2 of 16 of the report, or 40 of the overall agenda, the operational plan is actually the capital works is your nuts and bolts, and the operational plan to me is where a lot of work gets done which we don't sometimes see, but it's highly valued actually in the overall character building and livability of our city. And on that page 2 of 16 is the implementation of the Wildlife Connection Plan and also the Koala Conservation Action Plan, where work has been continuing on both of those. And I don't think there is a subject more passionate within our community than our healthy natural environment. And it's great to see that work proceeding. And I'd like to thank the officers. I know work that's been recently undertaken in my area along the Hilliards Creek Corridor. We've now got an endangered ecosystem coming back naturally, thanks to the weed control and everything they've done down there. So it's work that might go unseen, but it certainly makes a huge difference to our environment and our city as a whole. So thank you.
Any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, just a question, if I may, and absolutely acknowledging that this is the document where the rubber hits the road and all the plans and strategies turn into the actions, and it's great to see so many on track. Just in relation to, if I may, through you, Madam Mayor, to officers, on page 9 of 16, under Plan for Future Use of Surplus Commonwealth Land at Birkdale, carried forward from 2017 to 2018, just in relation to that, could I ask for an update on the status of what scopes of plans are in store for this site? Just because we've now proceeding with that process of purchase, and is there an option to get an update?
I think you were provided
that
information that was going to be taken on notice and provided to you. Is that correct?
Yes, I've asked the question. Just wanted to see if there's any.
I appreciate you're asking it now in public forum, but you did ask that, and officers committed to providing you that on notice.
Okay, so there's nothing that we can say at this stage.
No, you asked for a fair amount of information, I think, so they're putting that together for you.
So that nothing is that we can say at this stage. Okay.
Well, you asked them. You asked them less than 24 hours ago. We are putting information together, so they're doing that for you. So, questions, councillors? No, we don't own it yet. That's correct.
Yeah, and that was part of... No, I'll leave it at that.
The point is just to ask when we do own it, what is the plan for the scope of work?
That question has been asked a number of times and officers have committed yesterday, as recent as yesterday, to get that information to you. Okay.
Sure, we'll be waiting. Thanks.
Any other questions? If not, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Bishop, Tolte, Williams. Those against? Councillor Gleeson. Thank you. I will move on then to our delegated items. Councillors, item 13.1. If I could have a mover and seconder, thanks. Moved Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
No, it's just the usual report that comes to us.
Any questions, comments? There being Councillor Boglari?
Funnily enough, I was just asked the other day and I didn't know the answer. When a development application is approved, what's the time frame to when it shows up here in the report in the general? Is there an average sort of time frame?
They tell you that when those approvals, it's a bit between two dates, so I understand it.
So it would just be, it is the next general meeting, isn't it, after it's been approved?
Well, depending on when that general meeting falls, I imagine,
But it wouldn't, yeah. No, they were concerned that something hadn't shown up and I was just saying, no, it would be the next general meeting that was available, wouldn't it?
It just talks between dates, so it'll be a monthly report or a fortnight.
Mayor, on the... front page, it says delegations made under delegated authority between 28th of the 4th 2019
which makes it the next general
the
meeting
depending on when the general meeting occurs.
Yep.
Okay, so
no.
Because that's right, we've got a time frame to get papers onto the agenda, etc. Should I take a vote on that one? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against?
Aye.
Carried unanimously. Item 13.2. Mover and seconder. Move Councillor Boglari. Seconded Councillor Mitchell. Speak to it, Councillor Boglari.
Oh, this is just our standard report on our outstandings, unless there's a particular item that a councillor has a question on. It's just for record.
Gleeson? Comment?
Comment, Mayor. Thank you. Thanks, Mayor. I think it's really incumbent on councillors to have a look at the name of the appellants in this case and potentially declare a conflict of interest if there is one, because I believe one of these are... we're still voting on the item, Mayor.
Councillor, can I just say that this is a delegated... This is for noting. This is not making the decision.
We're still voting.
I'll seek advice from... Andrew, our legal counsel, it's a note. We don't make these decisions. We're just noting the delegated officer's decisions.
Yeah, that's quite correct, Madam Chair. It's an administrative decision, a report for noting, giving councillors and the community an update on appeals.
Thank you. Are there any other questions, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Item 14.1, park naming request, 61 McMillan Road. Move Councillor Hughes. Seconded Councillor Boglari. Councillor Hughes, I know you can't wait to speak.
I absolutely...
Despite the fact that Councillor Elliott tried to mug you out of that opportunity.
Yes, and I can well remember before the election, Councillor Elliott standing behind me with his arms folded, frowning at me as I spoke on site.
Oh.
So not holding a grudge at all.
there it was.
And I thank Councillor Elliott for the support he's given me since I've been elected, absolutely. What I would like to say here in moving this park naming request for 61 McMillan Road, Alexandra Hills, is thank you. I thank the officers for bringing this before us, and I thank the community for their support to this renaming. The Weir Urban Habitat is in honour of the Weir family that live literally next door. Their report's very clear in stating that there's four generations of of the Weir family that have lived in this area still today. We have our littlies of this family at our Ormiston State School and Cleveland State School. The community were on site when we had a meeting there as to what we may look to do into the future with this piece of parcel of land, this piece of beautiful land, and the community were very strong in saying that they would like to support the naming of the Weir Urban Habitat. I just, further to that, would like to speak to the fact that not only are we going to, as a community, celebrate the renaming, if it's supported today, of this parcel of land, but the community have strongly indicated that they want to be participants of a community planting day. They're hoping to establish a bush care group. I am speaking with council officers for that, and following hopefully this successful renaming of this property, there will be an on-site beautiful community planting day and celebration. And the thanks to the council for allowing this to supporting this from the community, I have been asked to thank the community representative, our council officers and councillors. Thank you.
Any speakers against, councillors? Any other comments or questions? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Next item is 14.2, the Scout Association of Queensland. Moved Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Oh, yes, thank you. Look, I don't think anyone in this room needs to be told, about the value of our Scouting Association and all they do to our Redlands community. I think we'd all struggle to actually find another more worthy or responsible group. It's international and it's become part, really, of our Australian culture. Generations of Redlands family have actually benefited from their dedication to our youth, and so it was no surprise when the Ormiston Den was arsoned that the community mourned along with the Scouts at that loss, and it was a horrific mourning to be down there with the community. One thing that came out of it, though, was the community resilience as well as the Scouts' spirit. It was amazing. They might have been a bit dampened by tears on the day, but they certainly rallied within hours and they started preparing for the future, as did the community alongside them. This particular site has been occupied by the Scouts, as it's stated in the report, since 1917, and that original clubhouse was actually a World War II building from the US gunnery down at Wellington Point. So it wasn't purposely built as a scout den, but it has done for 102 years and it has been the place of many, many learning experiences as well as community events. So on the list in the back here on page 104, it actually has a list of all the community groups that presently use the Scout Den. There's also a few more. There's Capella Bar Rotary, who have a shed on the property where they store their books for their book fest, which they hold twice a year at the Den. And recently this year, the organic markets have also started up there, and we've also held Christmas carols in the grounds. So this Scout Den is more than a Scout Den. It is actually a community facility. And that I have to give credit to the Scouts at this stage, because rebuilding, they have put a lot of time and effort into that design so that it is more user-friendly than the old US Army hut for different community groups. They have included in the design different smaller meeting rooms, and they have included a lot of cupboard space and storage space for groups such as the Redlands Floral Art and the Bonsai groups and all the other small groups that go there. So this new den is actually a community facility as well as a new scout facility. And I do have to publicly thank them, because they actually went and spoke, not just to myself for what I thought the community might like, but they also spoke to these groups and saw what they needed. So I fully support giving the Scouts a 30-year lease, because it really is an extraordinary association which is firmly entrenched into the greater Redlands community. They've committed nearly $500,000 of their own funds and donated funds to this new den by the time it's finished. And as I have said previously, I have to congratulate them on the strength and spirit of, I guess it's the scouting spirit, but also the community spirit that has shone through this entire way. The scouts have not done it alone. The community have walked with them, and they're just there waiting for the opening to do more fundraising with them. It's been an amazing, one of those warm and fuzzy community experiences, but that's because that's what the scouts have given to the community over all these years. The community wanted to give back. So I really appreciate support on this one for the scouts with their 30-year lease. Thank you.
Speaker against? Question? Comment?
Yeah, comment and then a question, if I may.
Councillor Bishop?
So in the first instance, absolutely want to acknowledge the trauma that members of that den went through and the rallying support that came from so many people. And also along the way, a lot of groups that were using that facility needed to find other places to set up, and I think council officers worked hard to make sure that there were places available, and I know the Bonsai Society greatly appreciated use of another hall, and a lot of people connected and engaged with the scouts, and I think this rebuild is a tremendous thing, and wishing them all the very best so they can be prepared in future. My question, if I may, through you, Madam Mayor, is just a little bit of a process check for consideration in future when people or groups want to apply to council for terms that go beyond the 10-year traditional lease. I just want to understand if there's any changes or clarity around the policy that we might need to look at, just in terms of what gives us the threshold to go from a 20-year to a 30-year, and just... it can be a question on notice, but I just think as we go down the track it would be useful for us to have some clarity so that we know what are the triggers for that consideration going forward.
Are you happy to take that on notice, Andrew? I think it's probably a broader discussion other than, if that's okay, we'll just have that.
Yeah, happy for that. I know that in the past there have been organisations that have applied and found it difficult, and getting to the 30-year lease was something that had to be negotiated, and I just think it would be useful for councillors to have a bit of a an understanding, because it does refer in the consultation, which is absolutely all as it should be, that there's a few panels and things, and I just think if we're clear about that guideline and policy, it just makes it very simple in future. Thank you.
My understanding is that this may require a bit of discussion. I note that Councillor Elliott's probably going to ask a question in regards to looking forward at the policy as to how we can maximise opportunities more broadly in the community, but if I could get that taken on notice, I'll ask Councillor Elliott to put his question, and maybe we can bring it all together into a discussion
more
paper.
More a comment than a question. Just in a discussion I had with the new group manager, Sherry Clark, the other day on our journey around my division, I raised it, and it was also that there is a further review going to happen in the way of leases and things like that, and multiple use of stuff and things like, which I raised on particular places, and I concur the scouts do a great job. We need more people to use facilities, not just one-offs and things like that. But I think in a further review, those things will be looked at.
That's really it. Any other questions or comments? Councillor Hughes?
Thank you. I'm just seeking clarification. I know we have discussed this regarding the list of the contributed fundraising efforts. And I note that yourself and Councillor Boglari are listed here, and it could be to those that read this that it's an individual and families, but this donation that you and Councillor Boglari have shared in, I understand, is a council grant. Is that?
So we have sought, we did seek further advice, and we have in our capacity as elected representatives supported them through a small grant program. It is not individual in their report. I guess without the knowledge of how the process is working here, referred to us as individuals, but it was in the capacity of being elected members. So to make that very, very clear. And I don't know if Andrew just wants to elaborate a little bit more, just to make it from a more legal speak perspective. Also, the Act doesn't require us as patrons of a not-for-profit community group to declare a conflict. Could you just clarify for that? For us, please, Andrew.
Through you, Madam Chair, I believe you summarised it quite well. There is no conflict between your personal interests and the public interest. You're exercising your official duties to support the club, which I believe the report also supports from the officer level.
Pleasure. They do great work. Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, just in support of what Councillor Elliott just raised, I mean, we get contacted literally every week with new community groups or organisations seeking some sort of either funding through a grant or some sort of building of their own. Bringing these long-term contracts into place and having these facilities available and putting it out there so that it's a shared space is a lot more efficient on the public purse than actually just going out there and providing a building or grants, etc., for every sort of group that comes along.
So, I think there'll be further opportunities. Just to bear in mind, though, that when someone takes on a lease, they also take on legal responsibility of maintenance in the building, which is also a cost to council if that is not in place. So we'll have a broader discussion about that. I think it's not completely correct to say that it's a burden on the public purse, because sometimes these people spend their own money more so than councils. So
I know through my email trail, I get a request for either for donations or a request for a building just about every week. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm saying this type of facility set up on a long-term lease where it's a shared space for multiple organisations is a more efficient way of doing things rather than
we'll have that
burden on the purse to actually provide some sort of separate entity everywhere else.
Yeah, where that's a request, that might be the case. We'll just bring that back for further discussion. Any more on this particular item, councillors? Can I put the motion then? Those in favour? Against? Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Bishop, Williams.
Albie.
Councillor Tolte?
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Tolte, those against, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you, councillors. There is no Merrill minute, notices of motion, etc. We'll go to confidential items. If I could have a mover, Councillor Elliott, we move into confidential. Seconded, Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Again, that is carried. Thank you, councillors. So I will now ask the gallery to please be cleared. Thank you to the press and the members of the public. Number of items. Firstly, item 19.1, moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Tolte?
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Gleeson. Item 19.2, moved Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Golay. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried. As before, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Gleeson. Item 19.3, move and second, and move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards, those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay. It's unanimous. Sorry. Councillor Tolte, you support that one?
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor.
That's unanimous. Councillor 19.4, move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Item 19.5, move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against?
The
motion
Aye.
Is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. I'm making sure that I have covered off on everything. Oh, I'll close the meeting first at 11:45. Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Tolte.
Thanks, Karen. Bye.